Psalm 18, right in the middle of your Bible. Psalm 18. We're going to read verses 32 down to 36. I'll read verse 32 and you read verse 33 with me. Psalm 18 and verse 32. It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet, and setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. And let's pray. Father, please help us tonight. And Lord, give us understanding. Speak to our hearts. And Lord, we do want you to strengthen us. Lord, we want to be stronger for you. So please help us, guide us. And Lord, help me as I preach, please. In Jesus' name, amen. David, the man after God's own heart, the only man in the Bible with that title. And when you study the life of David, why would God give that man that title, the man after God's own heart, and yet he was not allowed to build a temple for the Lord? He said, you're a man of war, your son will do that. When you look at the life of David, you will find one thing that he always did was before he did anything, he always went to God and said, Lord, is this something you want me to do? Is this a battle you want me to fight? How do you want me to do it? He didn't just, well, of course, you didn't just bowl through. He sought God, and Lord, I want your direction. I am your vessel. I am your servant. When you take the thought that he was a man of war in this passage in Psalm 18, if you think about David, back then they didn't pull a trigger. If you killed somebody, yeah, it could be with a long shot arrow, but most of the time it was with a drawn sword or it was with a spear. So you were within 5 feet of someone as you killed them and you watched the light go out of their eyes. David had done that many times. He was a warrior. And he says, I'm strong because of God. Look what God's taught me to do. I'm a warrior from my God, greatest war general in the Bible, right? When you look at this passage, look what he says. He says, verse 32, it is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. And then he starts saying, He's using physical pictures here of spiritual truths. Verse 30 says, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. What's a buckler? You had your regular shield. A buckler was a small shield that went from the elbow to the hand, and it was here. It wasn't a big shield. It was a fighting. He said, God is my protector, is another way of saying it. But buckler, it has nothing to do with your belt. It has everything to do with a shield. And he's, look at here, he says, verse 34, he teacheth my hands to war so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. God's given me the ability to fight. I'm sure he went back as a teenage boy and could remember taking down Goliath, you know, watching the rock sink into the giant's forehead. Then he didn't stop there. He went, took the sword of Goliath, cut off his head. Can you imagine as a teenage boy doing that? Then he took his head. That head must have been, okay, a normal head. Here, is this getting gory? Can we be real? The head of a giant like that would have been, I would say, at least 150% bigger than ours. So picture a teenage boy riding through town with this head, and everybody's going, yeah. You don't think David remembered that? He's taught my hands to war and my fingers to fight. God has given me victories. And as he points to his strength, Look at verse 35. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation. And he's going back and forth here using physical pictures and spiritual truths. And thy right hand hath holden me up. And then this part is what's underlined in my Bible. And thy gentleness hath made me great. What's made me great is not the men that I've killed. God has given me victory. And probably the hundreds of men, I would say thousands of men that he killed within arm's distance of himself. He'd watch the light go out in a lot of men's eyes. And he said, it's not the battles that I fought, it's God's gentleness that has made me great. I wanted to give a message tonight on being strong in the Lord, part two. This morning we looked at Ephesians 6, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. What does that mean? Well, it means you're going to have to face the devil as your enemy. You're going to have to realize you're in a battle. This is not just, you know, you're not just saved and just coasting until you get to heaven. You're in a battle right now. You need the whole armor of God. We looked at that this morning. What is the armor? Tonight I wanted to just give you a few more thoughts. God says another sign of a strong Christian is your ability to be gentle with other people, even though you have the capacity to kill. David had killed many times for the Lord, and yet he had the capacity, the ability to be gentle. And he says, it's not my warring abilities that makes me great. It's God's gentleness and my ability. Gentle in what? And as I started thinking about this, what does God say is the weapon you do the most damage with in your lifetime? James 3, the tongue. God says nobody tames it. Some have it more controlled than others. But there's no such thing as someone who's never hurt somebody with their mouth. First thing I thought about gentle was gentle in words. Being able to help somebody and encourage somebody with your mouth instead of hurt them. Being able to encourage instead of gripe. Gentle with my tongue. Well, you just need to hear the truth. Okay. How you give the truth can determine how it's received and how much it helps them.
Well, you just need to hear preaching.
Why don't you leave that to the preacher? Amen. And definitely, I don't preach to people one-on-one. I hope I don't. I hope you come in my office, preacher, I gotta go, well, let me tell you what the Bible says. You know? Wouldn't that be obnoxious? I hope I talk consoling, you know. I hope there's a personableness to me. Of course, every pastor thinks they're wonderful, you know what I mean? So I hope I'm not self-aggrandizing myself as much as if I look at the verse, thy gentleness hath made me great. And God, that's what I want. To be a strong Christian, you have to be able to control yourself to help others. That's what a strong Christian does. If you keep on reading in the passage, this passage of the warrior, watch this. Verse 36, thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. I have pursued mine enemies and overtaken them. Neither did I turn again till they were consumed. I have wounded them that they were not able to rise. They are fallen under my feet. For thou hast girded me with strength under the battle. Thou hast subdued under me those that rose up against me. Y'all see how he's giving God the praise? Look what God's let me do. Thou hast also given me the necks of my enemies that I might destroy them that hate me. They cried, but there was none to save them, even unto the Lord, but he answered them not. Then did I beat them small as the dust before the wind. I did cast them out as the dirt in the streets. Wow, he's praising God for his victories, and yet that verse in 34, thy gentleness hath made me great. Think about this just for a second. If you were to ask David, what was your greatest victory in life? Would it be David and Goliath when you fought the giant as a teenage boy? Would it be the battles with his brothers, the family of Goliath? Would it be the Philistines that you conquered, or when Saul sent you out to get the 100 foreskins for the daughter? And would it be he had all of these battles. And I wonder if King David would say, the greatest victory in my life is 1 Samuel 24 And I found Saul sleeping, and his men were sleeping around him, and I could have taken his life. But instead, I cut off a piece of his skirt, and then I showed it to him on the other side of the valley and said, I could have killed you, and I didn't. I think that was probably my greatest victory in my life. When I could have, and I didn't. And you read 1 Samuel 24, and it says, Saul wept and said, you're a better man than I am. You know how to control yourself. Would you think with me, if you Romans 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. The greatest victory you win in your life is when you conquer you. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city without walls, broken down. There's no hope for somebody with no self-control. It's God's way of saying, Proverbs 25:28 says, if you can't control you, you're useless. You say, that's strong. Romans 12:1 says, we're supposed to give ourselves to the Lord. How can you give yourself to God when you're out of control? You have to get control of you first. That's why, to your faith, 2 Peter chapter 1, after you get saved, what are you supposed to add to your faith? Well, the knowledge. Knowledge is number 3. To your faith, add virtue. What's virtue? Self-control and character. Because if you can't get control of yourself and make you do what you're supposed to do, there's no hope. In other words, you'll read the Bible, but it's you that makes you obey the Bible. So David, I think, if I'm trying to point to this, a strong Christian, God's gentleness makes them great. A warrior could say, I could have killed you, but I didn't. I exercised self-control. Power in restraint. So let's measure, how does God measure strength? Our ability to control ourselves determines how strong we are. Your ability to withhold yourself. Who is it that keeps you from doing wrong? You say, well, I know it's God's grace, but you still have to humble yourself and accept it. So your strength is measured in your ability to hold yourself back. Thy gentleness hath made me great. Pulling from that, let me see here. Here, go to Proverbs 16:32. Watch this. Proverbs, you're in Psalms. Go over one book. We'll move on to the next point here in just a second. I just want to focus on this just for a second. Proverbs 16:32. Ready? He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. You conquering yourself or your own spirit is more important than conquering a city, is what he's saying. Your inward restraint is more important than your outward victories. Because if you can't restrain yourself inwardly, you can't have outward victory. This comes first. He that is slow to anger. What's that mean? Look, everybody gets angry. Everybody, all of us have the potential to lose it. What was the statement? You know, half my bloodline is, you know, Nash and McGregor. And McGregor is Scottish, and they're all redheads, and we all know how angry redheads can get. So it's just in my genes, you know, I've heard that, you know, it's just in my blood to get angry and to blow to me top. All of us have it. If you can't get angry about stuff, I like what Brother Hiles says, you got tired blood. Like, you never, like, get angry about nothing gets your goat? What, are you alive? Are you breathing? It's all of us have it. Now let's take it to this. God says being slow to anger is better than the mighty. It's the sign of self-control. And then God takes it to the step this. Proverbs 16:32. Go over to chapter 22. Look at verse 24. Chapter 22, verse 24. Make, Proverbs 22, verse 24. Make no friendship with an angry man. And with a furious man, thou shalt not go. Do you see how God labels strength and weakness? We have a tendency to think strength is, you know, And that's not it. It's inward strength. God measures your strength as a Christian based on your... And it gets so... God says, if you find somebody that loses their temper and can't control themselves, just get away from them. They'll hurt you. Now, you girls all need that verse underlined and marked and memorized in your Bible. Oh, he'll get over it when we get married. No, he won't. It gets worse. It doesn't get better. With an angry man, you shall not go. If he's furious and out of control, good verse. Everybody understand a strong Christian in God's eyes is measured by inward restraint. Next, we look at Psalm 18. Now go to Romans chapter 15. Go to the New Testament. Romans chapter 15. And you know, if you're given something like this, isn't Jesus the ultimate picture? He was God who limited himself to flesh. He was the God-man. And yet he was perfect and never sinned.
Well, he turned over the money changers' temples and whipped them.
Did it at the start of his ministry and at the end of his ministry. And he was in complete control all the time. Jesus taught us how to be angry. I know my anger is on purpose. I know what I'm doing. And I'm never out of control. I watched one time we had a big youth activity. And, you know, I was learning to work with teenagers. And one of the older guys, he's about 6 years older than me. Teenagers all from the gangland came in. We had about 400 teenagers. And something happened. And one of the teenagers acted up, you know, and all the buses are outside waiting. And I remember, this was my roommate, you know. Teenager, you know, got in his face, and he grabbed that teenager and pushed him up against the wall and said, "Son, you ever do that again, I will wipe your face all over. Do you understand me?" Okay, so I'm sitting here watching this, right? The teenager's feet is off the ground, okay? And then jacked him up on the wall. And then he okay, so he lets him down, everything's fine. About 6 hours later, we're back in our room, and I said, "Man, you really manhandled that teenager." He said, "I planned in my mind what I would do beforehand if that was ever done, and I followed it through." He said, "I was never out of control." It taught me a lot. He said, "If you would meditate on what you would get angry about, how would I respond?" You need to, as a Sunday school teacher, you plan every, as a teacher, you plan every disruption. If somebody stands up and says this, I will respond this way. You plan the response. If they need anger for their sake, I get angry. I don't lose it for me. That's called being a... Where'd you learn that from? If you read your Bible, Jesus did everything exactly the way he was supposed to and was never out of control. You read John 8, read John 6. When he got stout, you serpents and vipers, everything was on purpose. Our Savior taught us there's things that should make you angry, but you predetermine what it is. You don't let life control you. You're supposed to be controlling life. Romans 15. Ready? Let's move on here. Romans 15. A strong Christian does what? Look at verse 1. "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves." Okay, we're going to read verses 1 through 3, but verse 1 has enough in it to keep us busy all week long. Not to please ourselves. Look at verse 2. "Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me." Let's go back to verse 1. "We then that are strong," how does God measure spiritual strength? Your ability to put up with people's weakness. I love the old statement. Every person in church represents a problem. Some represent two, some represent three, because we're sinners, right? There are some people that will come to church and they will gain strength from the Bible and you will watch them grow. Then Brother Heil said, there are other people that will continually come to church and hear the Bible preached and you'll never see them grow. Something happened in their life to where they're broken. and you have to deal with that.
Well, they just ought to get over that.
They're not going to. Some will grow spiritually, some won't. How do you deal with that? People that get, okay, read the verse again. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. The only reason I don't leave my world and enter somebody else's and care about them is because I'm selfish. That's it. I'm looking to please myself.
Well, how come they can't act right? How come they can't?
What happens if they never do, but praise the Lord, they come to church? And are you glad? Can you be glad they're here? You know, if I used Brother Darnell and his weakness, his infirmity, he had a stroke, he'll never get better. There'll never be a time he comes to church without his walker. It'll be that way until the Lord calls him home. So when you walk into church, it's like, what? Man, how come he can't leave that at home? He won't. Now, I'm using him as an example right now, okay? Because I think everybody can have empathy with him. But how do you deal with other people's infirmities? It's where we get the word infirmary at the hospital. Their weaknesses because of disease or a birth defect. How do you deal with that? We then that are strong, some people can. Some people, no tolerance. You either do things the way I think they ought to be done, or you're out of here. And I'm glad you're not my pastor. Amen. What a verse, right? Can we read it again? We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. If you aren't careful, people's weaknesses that they're not going to get over can rub you raw. That's where forbearing and long-suffering and love and tenderness and mercy, we'll learn that from the Lord. But my strength as a Christian is measured by how I deal with people that have the potential of irritating me. Do I lose it with them?
Well, they just ought to be.
God doesn't tell me that. God says, you change. You deal with them gently. What a verse, right? What a verse. We that are strong. If you're strong, you can help somebody that's weaker than you. But if you can only help people that act right and, you know, have it outwardly together, God says you're a weak person. We that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. What else is a quality of a strong? This goes right, you're in Romans, go to Galatians chapter 6. Ready? Galatians, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians. Look at chapter 6 and verse 1. Galatians 6, 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Spirituality, spiritual strength, inward strength, God measures it all with our ability to, you're struggling with something, I won't use it against you, can I help you? Restore you. Do you have yourself down and you're frustrated with you and your fault? Can I help you? If you're spiritual, you can lift them. Your strength is determined that way. Everybody's at a different level with this. But how do you, your ability to help others is how God measures your strength. We've looked at Romans 15. We've looked at Galatians. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 now. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Chapter 12 and verse 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Here's where it gets totally different. And here's the reason I gave this morning's message and tonight's message was 2 Corinthians 6. I understand I'm supposed to help the weak. I understand thy gentleness hath made me great. I'm supposed to put on the armor of God. I'm supposed to help people, not take out my frustrations with them. And I get that. This is where it gets complicated. All right? Look at verse 9. Well, just start at verse 6 and watch this. 2 Corinthians 12:6, "For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me." They called the Apostle Paul the short Jew with a big nose and runny eyes. He had an infirmity after he got struck off the horse, right, from the bright light. His eyes were never the same. And it doesn't say that, but that's what history records, is it records he always had this gunk dripping from his eyes. He was horrible to hear preach. In other words, I don't know what his voice sounded like. I know he had the power of God on him. Amen. But he was nothing to look at. And he said, "I'm going to tell you something," he said, "but I don't want anybody thinking of me more than they should, because I'm the apostle of the Gentiles." And look at verse, watch this, verse 7, "And lest I should be exalted above measure, though the abundance, through the abundance of the revelations that were, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." I think he was frustrated over his eyes. He couldn't see. Many think when he went into a church, he had to put his hand on somebody's shoulder. He wasn't blind, but he had to put his hand on somebody's shoulder so that he could walk and see, and then to talk to somebody like that. He said, "Satan was given permission by God to afflict me with a disease so I wouldn't be exalted above measure." God gave the devil permission to make me sick. Then he says, verse 8, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that I might that it might depart from me. And he said unto me," God said to him, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." That's why I'm preaching the message. The part that gets me is the parts of my life that irritate me, that I, you know, and he's going to give a whole list here. I am as strong as I can give God my frustrations with myself. In my weakness is he made strong. Now we're getting personal. Okay? Now we're talking about my patience with me determines God's strength through me. Because look at the next verse. It says, well, let's finish verse 9. "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Nobody was like the Apostle Paul. Nobody was used of God to start more churches, obviously to pen more scripture. The Apostle Paul is the pattern for all of us. And yet he's saying, I'm one of the weakest vessels, so that God's power can rest on me. Look at verse 10. "Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake." And here's that phrase, "For when I am weak, then am I strong." He said, "I take pleasure in infirmities." I looked up the word infirmity. It means a weakness or debility because of disease or a birth defect. I think he was talking about his eyes. I think we could talk about everything that we're made that we wish we weren't, whether I'm too short or my eyes are too big or my ears are too big or whatever you're frustrated with you over that you can't change. "Well, I wish I was this way, and I wish I take pleasure in my infirmities, because all that I'm not is God's ability to be through me if I humble myself and yield myself to Him." Well, you're not, are your cheekbones very high or all that, you know, my goodness, I take pleasure in my infirmities if I'll give them to the Lord. His next word is reproach. The word reproach means a source or cause of disgrace and shame. Okay, Paul had to live with the fact that he killed Christians. That's disgraceful and shameful. He had to live with it, and we know from the rest of the writings in the Bible, he had to live with that till he died. Now let's take that to us. I take pleasure in my reproaches, in the things that have happened in my life that I regret. Remember, I just preached a couple weeks ago on sins of ignorance. How do I handle my failures? God, I wish I would have known. I can't. Man, I take pleasure in it. Because you know what? If I won't get bitter and yield myself to God, God can help me through it. Infirmities, reproaches. Look at the next word. I take pleasure in necessities. There we go again. Things that I don't have, that I think I need. You know, I can hear singers sing, and I'm just like, wow. Man, I struggle to breathe when I sing. You know, hear Brother Garland sing, and man, Lord, he doesn't struggle with air or nothing. I know he's a singer. I'm not a singer. He's a soloist. If I'm not careful, I could look at a Brother Garland and think, man, I wish I had that. But I take pleasure in necessities. How come, God, how come you couldn't make me that way? Or Lord, how come I couldn't? Lord, I struggle to do this. You know, you watch a, I'm just using random people here. You know, Andrew works at his piano playing, but there's some talent involved. It's part talent. I think it's probably 30% talent, 70 skill. He does work at it. But man, you could watch a Andrew or a Madison or somebody play piano and think, man, I wish I could do that. I can't do that. I take pleasure in all the things I can't do that I wish I could, because that's God's opportunity to work through me in my weakness. But God, I wish I could. Infirmities, reproaches, necessities, in persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. And then this verse, for when I am weak, then am I strong. In every area of my life, I'm learning as a Christian, I need to be willing to admit to God all that I'm not. Me, a public speaker? If you'd have heard me give my first book report in ninth grade, the teacher said, come on up here. We had 10 minutes, right, to give our book report. I gave it for the whole time. I didn't know how to speak. I didn't know how to, I got beat up after class. Because five other people were supposed to give their book report in class, and I took the whole hour. I got thumped after class. They were like, I remember that very well. Now, I told you that story. If you would have told me in ninth grade, you're going to grow up and be a preacher one day. Me? Yeah, you. If you'll give your weakness to the Lord, He'll use you. But if you think you're all that in a bag of chips and you're gifted and you're the world's, then do it yourself, God says. I don't need to help you because you got it all, right? Isn't it amazing the people that God uses are those who humble themselves and say, God, I don't have anything. I can't do that. God, could you use me? I don't have anything to give. And God says, all I need is you. And if you'll admit what you don't have, I can flow through you. Me, a singer? 11 music CD? Are you kidding me? I had hearing aids. They didn't let me in the Marine Corps. They almost didn't let me in the Marine Corps. I was this close to flunking just because of my hearing. And you're going to grow up, and God's going to use you to make music CDs for people. Those CDs have been all over the world now. I look at that, and I go, "That we know who it ain't. And we know who it is. But you're going to grow up and be a singer? In my weakness, He's been strong." I can look. This verse, this is why when I sign Bibles, I sign them 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. Because I'm supposed to glory in my infirmities, because wherever I'm weak, I can give that to the Lord and He can work through it. I want to be a strong Christian, and a strong Christian is not somebody with all the abilities. A strong Christian is somebody who says, God, I don't have it. John 3:30, He must increase, I must decrease. My ability to rely on the Lord. Watch this, Christian. I said that to encourage you. A strong Christian can say, God, I don't have anything. Lord, soul winning? Me win a soul to Christ? God, if that happens, it's you. It's not me. When I am weak, then He's strong. My ability to give my weaknesses to the Lord. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. I'm just using the thought as a strong Christian. I want to be a strong Christian. Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Look at verse 12. For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. So he's liking it to spiritual strength. And I've told you before, milk is the mother's pre-digested food for a baby because it can't handle it, right? Take any you know, cow's milk, goat's milk. It is pre-digested food. And God says, if you can only handle, if you only get out of your Bible what I digest and give to you, then you're a babe, right? That's why your Bible time tomorrow is so important. Your ability to let God speak to you from His Word is something you grow into, right? That's why we say start out in Proverbs if you don't know where to start. But your ability to take, read, think, meditate, ingest, and put it into practice in your life is what we would call meek, right? Because it takes, you got to chew it. You got to put saliva in it. It has to be broken, right? All see the picture? A strong Christian can read the Bible and let it and absorb it. That's why Jesus said in John 5:39, search the Scriptures. He didn't say read a paragraph. He said search the Scriptures. Read it and study it so that you can pull nutrients out of it. A strong Christian, I wanted to close with this tonight, a strong Christian grows to the point where they can read the Bible. Look, preaching is God's plan, right? God puts His Word through a man to His people, and that's been God's plan for the past 2,000 years, right? There's something about preaching. We went to the preaching conference this week, you know. We all sat and listened, and man, we were all blessed, and we were like, man, that's good. I couldn't help but think, that's God's plan. They were preaching off Scriptures I've read for years. It's not, well, I could read that myself. Preaching is God's way of manifesting His Word. Titus chapter 1, verse 3. Right? So God reveals His... Okay, so we got that. A strong Christian should be able to work towards reading the Bible for themselves and pulling... That only happens one way. Can God's Word correct you? If it is just a book of facts and information, then you don't pull nutrients. You pull nutrients out of it as God can say, start this, stop this, knock this off, do this, go here. Can God speak to you from the Bible? That's how come some people have this attitude. Well, I've read it once. That's all I need. We need it. Unless you got the whole Bible memorized, you need it every day. And God says our problem is not, well, that you read it once. We're to be put in remembrance of it. Remember. Lest ye forget, beware lest... That's our problem, right? So preaching puts us in remembrance of the Bible, and a strong Christian can absorb the Bible for themselves. That's why I think as you'll spend time with God tomorrow, you'll get more and more out of your Bible if you'll just stay with it. Stay in church. Stay with it. Keep reading your Bible, but not... Well, I read it once. I wonder how many times Brother Wilkins has read his Bible. He said, Pastor, I read it every morning. He said, my, and several of you have time. I know that there are people in our church, they're over the 100 mark. They've read the Bible through over 100 times. Nobody reads it too much. If anything, we read it too less. Let me just show you one verse. Go to 1 John 2:14, and we'll, this is along the same lines. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Look at verse 14. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. Watch. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. I've written unto you, young men, a young man is strong as the word of God abides in him. That means he reads it, he studies it, he searches it, he memorizes it, he meditates in it, he sings it. We're told to do a lot of things with the Bible. The word of God abides in you, and that is what makes you strong. I took a truth. I want to be a strong Christian, but I don't want to be strong in my eyes. I want to do what God says a strong Christian does. So how strong are you according to the Lord? Well, I think I'm a pretty good Christian. Okay, I'm glad you're impressed with yourself. What does God think of your Christianity? How strong does God see you? That's what I wanted to give. And God's measure of strength is inward. Christian, I want to be a strong Christian. I hope the message gives you some things to work on, all of us, amen, to be a strong Christian. I want to be strong for the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this truth. Lord, you've helped me, and Lord, I need your help.